Let's turn to Acts in chapter 4. We're on verse 29 in Acts chapter 4, and we'll finish the chapter tonight, verses 29 through 37. Now, where we were is that Peter and John went to pray at the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon over to the temple, and there was a man sitting at the gate, beautiful, that was lame from birth. And actually, Peter fastened his eyes on him and said, "You know, I don't have any silver and gold to give to you, but such as I have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And the man went walking and leaping and praising God. He was totally healed. And then Peter began to talk of the things of the Lord. And now it was through the name of Jesus that he was healed. And so at that point then, the Pharisees arrested the guys and brought them in and threatened them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus, because they were teaching about the resurrection of the dead. And they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, and they wanted Jesus to be dead and stay dead and so forth. And so they were really upset with those guys and threatened them, and then they let them go. Well, immediately they just went to prayer. And let's look at one of those prayers as a view here. Let's look at verse 24. It says, "When they heard that, what the chief priest said to them, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they said, 'Lord, you are God, which have made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is.'" And so they are letting God know that they know who he was. He made heaven and earth and the sea and everything that in them is. And he's able to do anything. And so they continued their prayer. And so we pick up now here in verse 29 where it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal." They're asking for people to be healed through them. "And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus." And so, Lord, we're just asking that you would help us to minister to the people, and that signs and wonders would follow, and that you would heal by the name of your holy child Jesus. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The Lord sent an earthquake to let them know that their prayers were heard, and the place began to shake. And they, as they were shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." So God sent a miracle, this earthquake, to answer their prayer and shook the place and gave them great boldness to go forth, even though they were threatened that they would be punished and even killed, like Jesus was killed, if they spoke any more in his name. But they received this boldness, this gift from God, this boldness, this power. "All power is given to me in heaven and earth," says the Lord. "Go therefore and preach the gospel to all nations, making disciples of all people, telling them whatsoever things I've told you." And so you remember the Great Commission. And so they were empowered now to go forward. And remember, we need to remember this prayer, that they were asking that he would stretch forth his hand to heal in verse 30, and that signs and wonders would be done by the holy name of Jesus, the child Jesus, the Lord Father's child Jesus. And so this is the prayer. Now this prayer actually was somewhat copied from King Hezekiah back in the Old Testament. For the first part of the prayer I read to you, "Lord, you're the maker of heaven and earth and everything that's in them," they were recognizing who God is and how powerful he is. And King Hezekiah in the Old Testament, so many years before, about 700 years before this time, said pretty much the same prayer and had a miracle experience as well. So I want to show you this miracle in the Old Testament and consider this miracle in the New Testament, and then just discover and remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that Jesus can help us today in the same way that he helped and blessed these people. Now let's go back to 2 Kings in the Old Testament for the story of King Hezekiah and the prayer that he prayed and how important prayer is and how God answers prayers. And so we go back to 2 Kings in the Bible. Now that's way, way back before 1 and 2 Chronicles. We have 1 and 2 Kings. And we want to go to 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 14. Now, King Hezekiah was highly threatened. Now, these men in the New Testament are highly threatened by the chief priests and the Pharisees. Now, in the Old Testament, the Assyrian army came from actually the area of Nineveh. The capital city of the Assyrian Empire was Nineveh. And that's where God sent Jonah, remember, to preach? Jonah didn't want to go and got swallowed by a large fish, spit him out on the seashore. And then Jonah listened the second time because he didn't want to go through that again. And he went to Nineveh and preached. There was a great revival there. It was just about 1 million people in the city of Nineveh that actually turned completely to the Lord. The largest revival ever. It was 120,000 children involved. And the scholars guess that that would make the city of the population of about 1 million people that all came to the Lord through Jonah. But anyway, the Assyrian Empire was wicked before then, and they actually sent troops and surrounded Jerusalem when King Hezekiah was the king. And they just said, you know what, we're going to wipe you out unless you surrender. We'll even give you 2,000 horses to fight us with, and we'll still beat you, because we have 185,000 troops to just come get you. And so they sent this letter to Hezekiah threatening him and telling him to give up. But he was a great Christian. He was, I call him a Christian because he believed in God, and God is Jesus and Jesus is God, right? But anyway, it says here in verse 14 of 2 Kings, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread this letter before the Lord. You know, you might want to try that sometime when you get whatever kind of notices you might get that are threatening to you. Spread it before the Lord. Give it to the Lord. See what God will do. And just lay it out. You know, I've been in exercises and different retreats and so forth where you just fill out your sins and write down your sins and ask God to forgive you, or your burdens. You list out your burdens before the Lord. And just lay it out before the Lord and see what God will do. So Hezekiah took this letter that was threatening to him and he laid it out before the Lord. He spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and he said, O Lord God of Israel, who dwell between the cherubim, the angels on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Does that sound familiar? I'm convinced that the Lord remembered this prayer of Hezekiah in the Old Testament when they prayed, Lord, you're the maker of heaven and earth. And just taking that definition of God and his power and his ability. He's the one that hung the earth in the Milky Way. He's the one that stabilizes the Milky Way enough for our earth to stay together. And he also put us in the part of the Milky Way, which is not one of the spikes where you couldn't see anything. You'd go outside at night or even during the day and you couldn't see the sky. Because if we were in one of the forks of the Milky Way, which is very fuzzy and filled with stardust and all, if you want to call it that, and it would be hard to see. But he put us in a place. There's a whole film about this, where we can see the heavens. And we can see the glory of God in the heavens and His creation. So kind of Him. So even the place that He put the earth is a miracle and a beauty. Now, with a God with this much power, that thinks about you as the sea upon the sand shore, it says He thinks about you. He is so in control of taking care of you and taking care of I. And so these guys are all in agreement. Hezekiah, 700 years before these men prayed, praying the same exact prayer. Oh God, you're above all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib. This was the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not really gods, they were just the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. And now therefore, O Lord God, I beseech you, save us out of his hand, and all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you're the Lord God, even you alone. Then God sent Isaiah the prophet to King Hezekiah to let him know that he heard his prayer. Praise God. And God hears our prayers. He sees our prayers as incense before him. That just comes up in his nostrils, and it's a sweet smell to him to hear the prayers of his saints. Then Isaiah the son of Amos was sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, that which you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. I've heard. And so Hezekiah was highly comforted through that. Now let's see the end of it then. Let's look at God's miracle. Turn to actually verse 35 in the same chapter, 2 Kings 19, verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote or killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they, the Israelites, arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So one angel is a pretty tough dude. And Jesus could have called 144,000 angels, yeah, to his help. But he did not, because he knew he needed to go to the cross to allow people to kill him for your redemption, for your salvation. And look what one angel can do. 185,000 hairy-chested, broad-shouldered soldiers killed in one night. By one angel. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed, and he went and returned. I guess he went by himself, because all his troops were dead. And he dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Amalek and Sharezer, his sons, killed him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So it was over, and there was no more attacks from the Assyrians against Jerusalem. God handled it. God took care of it. It was a miracle. And so we see the same kind of miracle there in the book of Acts, when God shakes the place, sends an earthquake, and empowers them to go forward. Now this is our God. This is who we're dealing with. And this is what we need to remember when we pray. Hezekiah prayed. He laid the letter out before the Lord. The disciples prayed to the Lord, said, O Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and everything that's in them. Lord, hear these threatenings that they've threatened against us. And bless us and fill us and send us forth to heal people and to speak your word. And they were empowered mightily. And this earthquake was a sign of that. Now, you know what? We talked about the Old Testament 700 years later in the New Testament when the church was born. But I also want to say there's only 28 chapters in Acts. And it kind of leaves you up in the air. It leaves you with Paul at Rome before he was ever martyred or anything. And I think God did that for a reason, because you know what Acts 29 is, which isn't in the Bible? It's you and me. The Acts of the Apostles. What God did for the apostles and the early church, God is still doing today in you and I. Yes, He is. And He's doing miracles all the time if we'd open our eyes to see them. And every time we're touched and every time we're healed, it's the Lord. And God is taking care of His people and making a way for us in so many different ways and giving us confirmations about what He's doing. He's amazing and wonderful. I wanted to share an experience with you that we had a few years ago on Easter Sunday. On Easter Sunday, I was reading to get a message for the people for Easter Sunday. I try to get a new message every Easter, and it's been like 40 Easters that have gone by, you know, almost 40 Easters now. And it's just amazing how every year God gives me some kind of new slant or something, you know. It's just so precious, you know. He's so infinite. And so this one year, we were in Matthew 28:2, where it talks about how when Mary went early to the tomb, there was a great earthquake, it says. A great earthquake. In the Gospel of Matthew, when she went to the tomb. And then the scripture says that the angel came during the great earthquake and rolled the stone away from the tomb and sat on the top of it. I always love the picture of that in my mind. You know, the angel just kind of sitting there, you know, just waiting for all of the people to come and see that the stone is rolled away and they don't have to do it themselves. And behold, there's nobody in there to say those words. You seek Jesus. He's not here. He has risen, as He said. Go and tell His disciples. What a blessing for that angel to be able to say that and sit there, just twiddling his thumbs on top of the stone. I love that picture in my mind. But there was a great earthquake. Now, how exactly that came down or what that looked like, we don't know. But it just says, Matthew 28:2, there was a great earthquake. And for some reason, this one particular Easter, the Lord had me dedicate the whole sermon to the earthquake and to the different times that God brought an earthquake, just like in the time when they were praying here in Acts, and God sent an earthquake, and He shook the place, and how He's going to shake everything that can be shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken in Revelation. So the only things that are left are the things that can't be shaken as God shakes up the world. And of course, I always think of the old Elvis song, I'm all shook up, you know. Anyway, God knows how to shake the place, doesn't He? He knows how to shake the place. Anyway, I preached my guts out about all of this. And you know, when I was studying for the message, I'm thinking, Lord, why do You want me to just dedicate the whole Easter service to this great shaking that You gave before the resurrection or at the resurrection? Well, church was over and we all went home. And Sherry and I went over to Jer and Jen's house for Easter dinner, you know, the good old honey baked ham. Let's pause and think about honey baked ham for a minute. That is the best ham in the whole world. I think everybody agrees. But anyway, we're eating the honey baked ham over at Jer and Jen's, and Jer and Jen have a pool. And all of a sudden, waves started building in the pool. And waves started breaking outside the other side of the pool and then on this side. And we realized we're having a really large earthquake right now on Easter Sunday after my sermon about earthquakes. And I started to jump up and down with joy immediately. It's an earthquake! No wonder God wanted me to preach on earthquakes that day! It was so fun. And Jenny from the kitchen, she went, "Ah! And she started jumping up and down. It's an earthquake. And we were so blessed. And you know, The next time we saw the congregation, they were all going, you know what happened after your sermon on earthquake on Sunday? Man, did you feel it, you know? And it was felt all the way down to Mexico. It was a big one. And I was so blessed, and I was so empowered by that. Man, I could preach all the way into the next century, you know? But it was just such a blessing to feel and know the power of God. Like 700 years ago, like when the disciples prayed, and to feel that and know that and know that He is that much with you and I. And He wanted to do that for our congregation. And that was the greatest, wonderful blessing. So, God is alive and well on the planet Earth. He's not dead, He's alive. God's not dead, He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. You know that song, anybody? Yeah, that's a good song. In fact, God's Not Dead 2 is out now. Did you know that? It's in the theaters right now. God's Not Dead number 2, because God's Not Dead number 1 was the movie before. And the guys that sing that song actually were in the first movie, and I believe they're in the second movie now too. The lead singer has a new haircut. You'll have to notice when you see the movie. God's not dead, He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. And He wants you to know in your personal life, He wants you to know, I found a jacuzzi for the baptism. Praise the Lord. This dear sister, here's, yeah, this brother named Kevin, he just lives over near Disneyland. And he said, bring mom over. 2 o'clock Sunday. So we'll caravan. You can just follow me. Good. Yeah, that's settled, so we don't. Okay, anyway. God is active today, and He's ready today and willing today to hear your prayers. I want to tell you that. And I want to see this in the book of Acts. We are Acts chapter 29. That's who we are. And we have to remember that. When you read the scriptures, you are not reading a stale, old, musty book. You are reading the actions of a living God who's alive today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know He's living? Because I know that He's the way. He's the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. And as we come to the Father and are walking and talking with Him, these kinds of beautiful things He's doing today, in little ways, in between ways, in larger ways, and nothing is too hard for Him. Is there anything that's too hard for the Lord? No. With God, nothing is impossible. These are scriptures. And we always need to remember that. So as we believe or read about these miracles and take them in and see them, we don't dismiss them from our own belief system. Oh, the Lord just loves people that believe. Remember the woman that would not leave Him alone about her daughter who was demon-possessed? She would not leave Him alone. And at the end, He ended up saying to her, oh, woman, great, great is your faith. And the Bible says He marveled at her faith. And you know what? It would be so cool if Jesus Christ would marvel at your faith. If He would marvel at my faith and be able to say to us, great is your faith. As you just continue to look to Him, past the hardships and the problems and the big things that loom up in your life, and give them with confidence to the Lord Jesus Christ for dealing with. He can do it all, and He is amazing that way. All right, well, let's go on back then to Acts, and we want to go on because there's more here today, tonight. Let's go to Acts in chapter 4, and we just read in Acts chapter 4. We just read, where did we read? Verse 12. Okay, no? No. We start at 29. So we just read verse 31. Now let's go to verse 32. Verse 32 of Acts 4. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. They were together in such a oneness. And neither said any of them that anything of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus," that Jesus rose from the dead. "And great grace was upon them all of the people," the body of Christ fitting together so wonderfully in this first century church. "And with great power they went forward. Neither was there any among them that lacked." The poor among them were taken care of. "For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." There was such a love between them that they really made sure that anyone in need was taken care of. And it says here, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas," which is being interpreted "the son of consolation." You know, Barnabas was quite a guy. And they changed his name to "the son of encouragement" because he's the only one that accepted the Apostle Paul's testimony. Everyone else was afraid of him. Because the Apostle Paul originally was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he threatened and killed people, had people killed for believing in Jesus. But you remember, and we're going to be studying this in the book of Acts, that the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus to capture Christians and bring them back for judgment and for execution, actually. And the Lord knocked him off his horse. Said, "Paul, Paul," or "Saul, Saul" was his name before he changed to Paul. "Why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you to push against the goads." Now, a goad was a stick that the driver of oxen would use to say, "Come on, big fat oxen, let's do this right. Let's plow this field." And the Lord had been kind of goading Paul, and Paul was resisting the Lord and rather going out and killing Christians. He says, "It's hard for you to do that, Paul." And he was blind for 3 days, and he became one of the greatest believers ever. And he became a great apostle, and he wrote most of the New Testament. Yeah. 13 out of the 27 books, the Apostle Paul wrote them. And so Barnabas was the only one that believed that Paul was really converted, because everybody was afraid of him, that they were going to turn him in, and he was like an undercover agent. But Barnabas went and got Paul and said, "It's time for you to minister in the Lord. Let's get going." And so Paul and Barnabas became the first mission team and went out and converted many. The Lord used them beautifully. So that's how Barnabas got his name. He was a son of encouragement. He was a Levite, meaning that he was of the priestly tribe and of the country of Cyprus. Cyprus is an island in the Mediterranean, and so he originally lived there. And having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so this is what they were doing right at first. And just taking care of every man, the end of verse 35, every man according as he had need. And I just thought, this is so excellent a verse for what's happening right now in our church. The book of Acts goes on, amen? And God uses each one of us as he wills. And that as he opens our hearts, and we see the need. You know, it's just so, so neat the way God does that. And we take care of one another. There's so many stories here. You know, Dan's got this one story, and I'm looking at different ones in the congregation. I remember with Irvin, there's many different stories of opening his home to people, and different ones in the congregation that have just helped people when they needed help and were there for them. My dear wife, she has been blessed with so many great clothes through the years, you know, and you know, she, God's amazing, you know, where sometimes you think it's not good to get stores or clothes from a thrift store or something. You know, my boys used to complain about it a little bit. They made me promise I never give them undies from the thrift store, and I understood that. But you know, Sherry got a pair of pants from a thrift store that lasted her for years, because I guess a rich lady gave some pants from Macy's or whatever, I don't know. But I mean, they just fit her so well. It was like a kiss and hug from the Lord. And you know, things like that just happen. And God's the one that's behind all that, because he sees the need. And he moves on different ones to do different things at different times for different folks. And it is an amazing thing to see in the body of Christ. I really love watching the way the Lord works. It's so good. Well, let's go on in the Word right now, because actually in chapter 5, I just want to go a few more verses tonight, on into chapter 5. But it says that a certain man named Ananias. Now, this is a really sobering section of Scripture, and it brings actually godly fear to our hearts to really stay right on with the Lord and be kind of sobered about our giving and so forth. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, chapter 5, verse 1, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And they kept back part of the price. They thought, hey, we got, you know, 100 grand for our house here, but, you know, we just need a nest egg. And so we'll just tell them that we sold our house for 50 grand, you know, kind of thing. And so they're just going to kind of try to, you know, look like they're really hotshot believers and they've given in their money to the apostles like the others, but they cheated on it. And so they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and they brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Man, that's a sobering question, isn't it? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? Yeah, you know, we just kind of live honestly before the Lord, and we give with cheerful hearts as God leads us to give. But we don't try to make a scene like we're giving more than we really are to be popular or whatever. And so Peter says to him, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power to do what you wanted with the money? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart, that you have not lied to men, but you've lied to God? Whoa. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died right there on the spot, man. Everybody got scared after that. We got to watch it. You got to watch it here. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young man arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later that his wife, not knowing what he had done, came in. And Peter answered to her and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And so she agreed with her husband to tell this lie. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and died. She yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many has heard these things. Well, I guess, whoa, wouldn't that scare you? And so this idea of lying to the Holy Spirit. The Lord was bringing a very sobering message, wasn't he? A message is that we just need to live honestly before the Lord. We are who we are. We give what we give. We do the best we can. And we don't seek to kind of build ourselves up in front of the others. We shouldn't compare ourselves with ourselves. We just go to the Lord and look to Him and be close to Him. And I'm sure none of you are guilty of this. Hallelujah, because you're not dead. Praise the Lord. But it sure sobers us, doesn't it? And it just really is sobering, as it was for the early church. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders worked among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest of them did no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. There was a lot of people that were scared to join themselves to the group because of what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. So it sobered the people that were Christians, and it caused people that might have second thoughts about fully following Jesus to back off. So it kept the group in a pure state, really, of not having those come in that weren't really sincere and really open to the Lord. But as we go on, it says, and the believers were the more added to the Lord. Real believers were just added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. This reminds me so much of a verse about Jesus, that he healed them all. He healed them all, it says, at one of his meetings that he had. And here we see that folks came from miles around just hoping to have the shadow of Peter go by them and just shadow over them, and that they believed that they would be healed through that, and many were healed in that experience. And the bringing the sick folks that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. And so God was moving in such a mighty way in this early church, purifying this early church and making it a church that really loved Jesus and really was in favor of Him and looking to Him and having their hearts heavily, reaching out for Him. Remember in chapter 4, verse 30, and let's look back at that verse again, chapter 4, verse 30. It says, in their original prayer that they prayed after being threatened, that the Lord would stretch forth His hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And that prayer was answered as the Lord healed so many. Now, is the Lord healing today? And I think all of us could say yes to that. Probably everybody in this room has had a healing of some sort at one time or another. You know, I wanted to share a healing that happened here in the second row of our church on a Wednesday night study, just like tonight. And there was a lady sitting right behind where Sherry is. Her name was Dodie. She's moved to Texas now. But she had given blood early in the day, and she fell over in the pew during the service, and she did what sounded like one of those death gasps, and she then fell on the floor, and we just went right to prayer, and I didn't know what to do. I was kind of shocked, and I came down from the pulpit, and I went down, and she was laying on her back, and she wasn't breathing. And it just really seemed that, she made the big going home to Papa deal, that she died. And the congregation was praying, and I was looking down at her face, and her eyes just popped open, and they were the most beautiful deep blue, and they were ministering pure strength. And she stood up, shocking all of us. Somebody had gone and called the paramedics, and the paramedics were on their way, but she stood up and she said, "You know what? I'm fine." And she walked out the back door. Sherry just followed her out the back door to meet the paramedics, and they took her over to this hospital right here, Western Medical. And over there, Sherry went with her, and they told her that she was low, really dangerously low on potassium, and that with giving blood the same day, it could have killed her. And so we possibly have had somebody rise from the dead right here in our church. And you know what? We don't brag about this or put signs up about it or anything, but it happened years ago now, and I think we're safe now to not get any publicity or whatever. And we're not out for that. But just, you know what? God raises the dead even today. He does that. And He's amazing. And we give Him all the praise and the glory. And I was just amazed to witness that. And to see her eyes just pop open after not being able to breathe. And just get up and walk out of here. It was just the most amazing thing. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And we thank God that He does stuff like that today. Ladies and gentlemen, God does these things today. Because He's powerful and He has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust Him fully with our lives. And He can do anything today that He did yesterday. And as I read the book of Acts and remember the things that God has done here in our own church, no fanfare, no big deal. He's just God. And He just does these things. And I want to encourage you and encourage me to just learn how to pray. Learn how to take everything to God and really put it in His hands. The book of Acts is for us. We're chapter 29. 28 is over. We're chapter 29. And God is moving among His church today and blessing people mightily. He is our God. He's our King. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is so able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that's at work within us. And there is this great power that works within us to just go forward and not backward, to not give in to any kind of depressive thoughts that God can't help, nobody can help me. No, God can help you, and God can help me, and He can even raise the dead. He can do that. He's able to do it. And He wants to just give us that kind of resurrected living. That's what resurrected living is. Jesus Christ was dead, and He rose from the dead. And that's what Peter and John and James and all the guys were preaching. And they saw Him do the same things after He was gone that He did when He was here. And He's still doing them today. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Let's pray together. Let's just go to the Lord. So Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just want to bring these dear ones to You today, Lord God, and just pray in Jesus' name that You would just encourage each one. And Lord, we have our problems, different kinds of problems, big ones, little ones in between. And Lord, they're all the same to You. You can do anything. And Father, I just want to pray, Lord, that You would minister to each one this day, this night, right now, Father. And, you know, as we're here just before the Lord in prayer, that You would just bring to the altar anything that you have been struggling with or are afraid of or has threatened you, that is eating at you, is pulling you down, and just believe the Lord right now to be able to resurrect you from that situation, to bring life where there's been death, to just bring great life and be able to believe anything that's good that God can do, because He can do it. He's that big. He's that powerful. He made heaven and He made earth and all that in them is. And so I'd like to just give you just a little time of silence before we have Daniel come back up and Edward and Isabel back up here to sing a little. But just this time of silence to give it up to the Lord and believe in His resurrection power. And so let's do that. So Father, we do thank You so much, Lord, for Your ability. And Lord, we've read about Your ability. We've heard about Your ability. We've seen Your action. You move in such powerful ways, Your wonders to perform. And Father, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You would touch each situation that's been brought to You this evening. No one's here by accident tonight. We know that's true, Lord. And each one of us has different difficulties and problems to face, and many times threatenings and misunderstandings and so forth, Lord. And Father, thank You that You can minister deeply and bring Your resurrection power to any scenario. So we thank You, Father. Thank You for what You're going to do. We want to just simply believe You. You are able. You are able. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would desire prayer for anything tonight, Dan's here and he'll be in the prayer room. He's our prayer warrior for the prayer room. And may the Lord bless you. May God continue to lead you and show you His ways every day. The Lord just loves you so much. He's really close to each one of us, you know. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.